This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of December of the year 2004, and it's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scriptures, there are two of them, are found. The first one is in St. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, and the second one is found in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now, if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And our second scripture says, that I might know Him, or that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The title for the message, Time to Go Beyond Belief. Now, this month's subject deals with the relationship that all of us have to have with God and the different aspects of that relationship. In our lives, there are times when, after being on one plateau or holding one position or acquiring a certain level of knowledge, that we are called on to or should pursue something higher or better. If you will glance at the two subjects verses, you will see that they both are key components in the lives of Christians. The first is known as the heart of the gospel. The second is what could be determined as the goal that all Christians should want to reach. Let's look at each individually and to notice two key words. Those words may seem to be meaning the same thing and are usually overlooked as being insignificant. But after you finish this message, you will see a gigantic difference, one that could determine your overall relationship with God. Those two words are believe and know. In the first scripture, we see the word believe, but you know, actually it's believeth. This scripture is telling us that in order to be born again or have everlasting life, a person must believe the first part of that scripture. Now let me give you my definition of what believeth means as pertaining to this scripture. To believe something usually means that a person takes the position of acknowledging something to be true without any substantial physical proof. They have a feeling, or they suspect that something is factual, but they aren't totally convinced of that position. Look at it like this. In a crime investigation, investigators, when they come to a crime scene, one of the first things they want to do is isolate it. They do that so that they can gather evidence to try to figure out who committed it. They have to isolate it so that the evidence won't get lost, stolen, or contaminated. Now let's say there was a murder, and that there are three people at the scene when the police arrive. And let's say, given the situation presented, one of the three people at the scene appears to have done it. Well, when one of the investigators is asked who they think did the deed, the investigator will say or reply, "I believe that one of the three individuals at the scene did it." What they are saying is, "I don't know which one of the three did it, or if any of them did it, but we are looking at all of the evidence that is available to find out." That means even though there is a belief, there is still some doubt. And if any or all three of these individuals were brought to trial according to our judicial rules, if a person is to be found guilty, it has to be when it appears that they are beyond a reasonable doubt. That means no one can make a legitimate argument to the jury to change their minds about the guilt or innocence of the accused. Well, in order, as John 3:16 says, to have everlasting life, a person has to believe the first part, primarily as well as the rest, means that they are doing so based on faith. And faith, like what this scripture calls for, is a precarious position because the person doesn't have all of the necessary evidence to support their position, and someone can come to that person, and if they raise a certain point, the person may doubt that belief and be led astray. Look at these passages of scripture. Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is that word believe again. This scripture complements the first subject scripture because they both essentially say the same thing, even though this passage goes into a little more detail as to how you are to believe. However, here is something that I believe, now I am using it, will be a revelation to you about these scriptures. Both of these scriptures are not directed to the saints as much as they are to the sinner. Why do I say that? Because if a person is a sinner, they are usually referred to as what? Unbelievers. Therefore, in order for them to get saved, they must believe. To put it in the proper perspective, believing is the key that opens the door that allows you access to God, where you can obtain all of the evidence that you need so that you can go beyond belief to guess what? Knowing. Now, look at what Paul says in the second subject verse. He is saying that he wants to achieve the position of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, meaning he wants to advance beyond being just a believer. If we look at the crime scene scenario where the investigator believes one of the three suspects committed the crime, after all of the evidence, the investigation of evidence, the final result is that one certain person did commit the crime, the investigator can say, I know this person committed the crime. And when they go to trial, the jury is convinced beyond a reasonable doubt of the guilt of the individual and finds them guilty. In like manner, when we first get saved, we have become believers. Yet there is more to us for us to pursue. We have to get to a point in our relationship with Jesus Christ, God and his ways, that we can say, this is not something that I believe, it is something that I no. Look at these scriptures. St. John chapter 7, verse number 29. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. The second scripture, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him and we keep his commandments. And then in 1 John chapter number 5 verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then let's go to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 11 and verse number 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Look at the first scripture. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone knows God, then most certainly Jesus does, because he is the Son. Many of the religious leaders question him about his claiming to be God's Son. But let me ask you this, who better to know a parent but a child of that parent? Do you believe your parents are your parents, or do you know your parents are your parents? If you say you believe they are, then you, my friend, have some serious issues. The second and third scriptures tell us that believers advance to knowing when they begin to keep God's commandments. Notice, John did not say they know God, because they physically were walking with Christ and were witness to his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. No, they say they know God because they keep his commandments and the understanding of his nature. The last scripture, which is found in the Old Testament, shows us something that proves that knowing God, what knowing God can do. It says they will be strong and will do exploits, which is a term for unbelievable, remarkable, and supernatural things. That means they cannot be shaken in their knowledge of God because they know him. They can stand up and tell you something that many people say not in the Bible, but because they know God and his ways, and they would be right. Maybe that is why they tell us or call us the religious right. When I address issues that are popular in our society and call them sin, many people will come to me and say, "That's what you believe, but I believe this." That's what they'll say. They say, "That's what you believe, but I believe this." Now, my response to them is, "No, that is not what I believe. That is what I know." If I believe something, I will say I believe until I have proof otherwise. And if the proof says a certain thing is no longer a belief, then it is no longer a belief. It is now a fact. People don't like people that know things as opposed to believing things. For a person to claim that they know something means that they are unmovable and unshakable. Psalms chapter number 1 verse number 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." trees that are planted by rivers of water have very deep roots and can withstand enormous storms and still remain. Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 and 25 say this: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Christ's message here is clear. When you do what he says for you to do, you will be in a position of being unmovable, irrespective of the storms that come your way. Why? Because you know the truth. Many Christians today are living lives of belief rather than knowledge. I can tell that by listening to and watching them. A lot of them are walking this life in a state of, "I'm not really sure if this is what God wants me to do, but I will keep on for right now unless God shows me a different way." What they are saying is, "If someone or something shows me different, then I may change my direction." Friend, you need the Holy Ghost to guide you. He is the one that will tell you what to do and where to go and what to say. That is what he is there for. He directs you and then gives witness to you and empowers you so that you can know what God wants for you in your life. And with that, there is no room for doubt. The enemy can try to deter you, but you know, and in many instances, you can, as it was said of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse number 21, it says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." You are truly persuaded of something because God has shown you all of the evidence and you have the experienced his power, the power that is only available to those that have moved beyond belief to knowing. It may sound like you are being arrogant, but that is only because that is what you believe.
Well, that's the end of our message for this particular session,
and I hope that you have picked up on the point that there is a big difference between believing something and knowing something. When you know things, that's because you've gathered all the facts, or you might have some experiences that go along with it, or whatever the case is, all of the evidence and things prove that particular thing is no longer something that you believe, but it is a fact with all of the evidence, and you become unmovable in that. People can't come up and tell you after you've been hit on the head with a baseball bat, but you don't have any no hickey on your head or something like that. They say, "Oh, you just believe you've been hit on the head. You ain't really been hit on the head." But you know you've been hit on the head. Why? Because
you just know that. Can't anybody tell you anything different? The other thing is also we got to realize this, when it comes down to this life that we are living, there are things that we can say that we know, or even that we believe. As I mentioned earlier about if somebody came up to a person and if somebody come up to you and ask you, were your mother and your father your real mother and father? Well, see, you only thing that you can say about that is that they are your mother and your father, and you think and take that to be true because of all of the evidence in the physical realm. The fact that they, from the time that you can remember, they were there taking care of you, feeding you, clothing you, changing your diapers and things, and raising you, and doing all of the things that parents can do. And you would say, I know these are my parents. But here's the catch. In this physical world, a lot of things that people at one time said were fact have now been proven to really not be fact. Because how many times have you heard people claiming that somebody was their mother and their father based on the evidence and everything that they were doing as they were, you know, growing up, and they took this as being their mother and their dad, only to find out later on that these were not their mother and dad, but they were either adopted or they were kidnapped by the people that raised them up for the rest of, from the time they were toddlers and things, where they had no memory of who their real father and things are, or, you know, a whole lot of different scenarios can come up where in this physical realm, and that's why I want to emphasize this, in this physical realm, what you think you may know now as being fact can at some later date be proven not to be, I'm not going to say it's going to be a lie, but it was only a fact for that particular time period. Just like I make the mention of the fact that what if one of us, you've seen that movie Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd in it, traveling back in time, or you've seen other movies like The Time Machine and so forth. Well, what if somebody today were able to go back to the, let's say, 17th or 18th century and wind up there, you know, with the cowboys and the Indians and stuff and carrying on, while they were settling the United States, and they you know, dropped in on them, and they were, the person got to talking with them, and they were talking about the fact, yeah, we've been to the moon, and we landed on the moon and planted something on the moon, and we can travel from New York to California in about 3 or 4 hours, or we can do this, that, and other. Now, you know this because you came from the future back to the past. Now, you could tell the people in the past what lies ahead, but they don't know that for a fact. Why? Because the only facts they know is that right now to get from California or New York to California takes months, weeks or months to get there. And you talking about you can get there in 3 hours? See, because that particular truth or fact is relevant to the time period. Whereas there's things today that people may not believe as fact or may not know anything about, that at some time point later they might find out something different, and now they have to upgrade their position from believing something was true back then, but now they find out that there is something better than what they were believing, so they're steadily growing in that. But when, like the Apostle Paul says, to know Christ or to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, means that you have come to something that does not change. It's eternal. Once you have it, it's gonna always be and render what it is. Now, you can still go in deeper knowledge of God, but you know your mindset is based on the fact. When it comes down to fact, to is God real or not? You can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, yes, He is. Why? Because I know. How do you know? Because He lives in me. How you know He lives in me? Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. That's one of the things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as found in the book of Acts and speaking in tongues is kind of important in this area. When that happens, this part about speaking in tongues, that's the physical evidence that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you, because He will provide you with the proof that you need to know that you don't have to believe that you got the Holy Ghost. You know it. And that goes a long way in the life of a believer, so that when he's facing problems, tests, and trials and things, he knows that God is on the inside of him. He knows that God is going to always be there for him. All he has to do is put his faith in God and be obedient to God, and everything that God says would be available to him will be available to him beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's why when somebody comes up and says, how did you know that somebody put so much money in your bank account? You have to go check that out. Why? Because you're dealing with things from a carnal perspective. But if God says something to you, then you don't have to double check Him. You might need some reassurance on the aspect of when it comes down to as to when exactly He may want you to do something, but you know you have the basics of knowing Him, because you have gone past the idea of just being a believer. You are going toward the position of getting to know more and more about Him, and that's what God wants us to do. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out our message for this session. And let me say to you and yours, till we get together again for another message from the Word of God, you have a good day.